I'm a coming. You just take your Bible, go to Micah chapter 4. Micah chapter 4. Enjoyed what I saw tonight from Seven Pillars. I know the man who started that program. Well, Solomon started it. Proverbs 9:1. And those pillars are put there for a reason. I went to Israel several times. God's people provided us to go. We found out what those all pillars are not the same around the world. The difference is the crown at the top of the pillar. Tells you where the pillar came from, what country. And Israel is the only nation in the world that has pillars from all over the world. Rome doesn't even have that. But Israel does. That means people came there to bring their pillars there to build a temple. Hello. They know what land is right. And that was 1,000 years ago. So how did they get them there? I don't know. I wasn't there. I'm like, who built the pyramid? I don't know. I don't care. I'm out of here one day. We're out of here. Okay? Now, I'll just say this to you. You heard of the song about being a Christian. The Bible says the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Amen. A sinner getting saved, then becoming a Christian. Yeah. It takes time. Yeah. Okay? Just because you're saved, that don't mean you're a Christian. Right. The Christian is that you've matured and you've grown. Right. You know how to treat people. You know how to help people. I know a lot of folks are saved, but they're not Christians. I have to deal with them every day. More than a loose, filthy tongue, a loose knife to backstab somebody, Christians act that way. And I'm glad I got around some preachers who didn't act that way. I'm glad I got around like Pete Ruckman. When he had something to say to you, he'd say it to your face. Lester Olof would flay you to your face. Jack Hiles would talk to your face. Now that's that last generation. That generation is leaving the scene. Yep. But thank God you got a preacher here named Alan Ryman. He'll say it right to your face. Yep. And so I'm glad to be here tonight. My beautiful wife Karen back there. And good-looking blonde. Brunette last week. Blonde this week. No, I'm just kidding. She'll be a red next week. No. But I'm gonna talk to you tonight. I'm not going to preach long. I want to hear Brother Gary. I know it's late. And my legs are doing a lot better. Trust me. And I've laid down them cheeseburgers. Amen. But them cheeseburgers took them out, but I'm going to get them back in there. But I was really touched by Seven Pillars tonight. I want to do what I can to help, whatever I can. I'm broke just like you are, but I can do something. I can sell drugs or something. Yeah. And one guy said, Brother Jack, I want to hear you preach. He said, man, he said, I like the way you preach. You preach the same old sermons. You just yell in different places. Amen. And but tonight I want to kind of give you a truth that's helped me through the years. And when I read a sermon, I always look for something that at least 100 years old that's proven the test of time. I don't read the new Pringle stuff. I read something that's, back in the day, 100, 150 years ago. And I came across a truth, and when I went through PBI, I was lost. We didn't call it PBI back then. We called it Brent Baptist Church. But I got my start after I got my conversion to Christ and got saved. And Dr. Ruckman asked us to go on the street one night and come out and help pass out some cheeseburgers. They made them up at what they call the Fellowship Hall. They did that back then. They were more involved in helping and feeding the people when I was back at school. And so Dr. Ruckman, we called him Brother Pete back then, and never called him Pete. You don't call your preacher by his first name. And don't do it around me. And I'll jap slap you. I'll sit on you. I'll do something. Or I'll trip you when you pass by. Amen. So I don't like nobody falling, but that was funny. But so would you laugh? You'd laugh at me if I fail. I'll laugh at you when you fall. Okay, God bless you. I don't mean spiritually. I mean physically. But I remember one night we went down there, and we went down the street on Palafox Street. There was about maybe 500 people on the streets at the hippie days and so forth. And, of course, I didn't like them. I was Motown. I'm not wearing my Motown clothes. I had a pair of bright green pants with an orange silk Tom Jones shirt on with white Temptation shoes and a white hat. Man, I thought I was cool. I was out of place from Detroit. But I went, and I just got saved and didn't know how to dress or whatever, didn't know how to talk. And I remember what I saw Brother Pete do. He was feeding people cheeseburgers and soup. And they say, hey, Patterson, come here. Always call me by my last name. Hey, Patterson, get over here, boy. I got a job for you, man. What do you want me to do? I want you to watch my back. I'm going to draw. Okay. And he wanted me to be his bodyguard. And we did that for about 5 months. But in the course of those Saturday nights, I saw this. Amen. Helping each other out.
Amen.
I didn't see this.
Yeah. Amen.
I saw this.
Yeah.
You know what I saw tonight?
Yeah.
I saw this.
Yeah. Amen.
That's the Christian life.
Yeah.
That's the Christian. You know, most Christians, they get something, they put it in the pocket.
Yeah.
No, it's this.
Yeah.
That's that Christian I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Before I pray, I was at the Pastor Ryman's house today and think what the preacher said. You want to preach first? I said, okay, I just give me my slot. Give me my time. I hate when preachers go over their slot. You know, well, I got something to say. I'll shut up. But I'm going to preach about 20 minutes, give it to Brother Gary. I'll get on base. You got to hit me in, okay? And I'm sliding in home. And I got a phone call from a young girl. I was talking to her. I said, a pastor's daughter, and I've been counseling her through via text. Me and my wife talked to her. And she jumped off a bridge a few months ago, tried to kill herself, pastor's daughter. And I asked her why the last time, didn't ask her this time. I don't ask them the same questions every time I talk to them. I said, how are things going for you? So she's doing fine, Brother Patterson, doing good, so forth. And I said, you're doing better? He said, yes, I'm getting my life straight now. I said, well, good. And I got talking to her and just hearing her voice. She said, I think I found my purpose. And then I talked to her about this verse I'm going to preach to you tonight. It's over here in Micah chapter 4, the first time I talked to her. Micah chapter 4, look at verse number 8. Micah chapter 4, verse number 8. And thou, O tower of the flock of the stronghold of our daughter of Zion. This is a Jewish book. 85% of this book is written to Jews, not the Gentiles. And well, are you preaching on Jews tonight? You got in because of the Jews. You got in because of their rejection. You got in because someone else's failure. You read your Bible, okay? They rejected him, he picked you up. But he's going to pick them back up in a few more years, though. Yeah, man, he ain't done with Israel yet. And by the way, Israel's not the church. Israel's not the body. That's what the Steve Anderson guy put. He don't know what. Don't get me started on that dude. Israel means Israel. The body of Christ means body of Christ. If you're saved in the blood of Christ, you're in the body of Christ. I don't care if you're Jew, Gentile, Mormon, Muslim, I know you're in Christ.
Amen.
And you're my brother and sister in Christ.
Yeah.
The things that differ, they're not the same.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
If a boy from Detroit with a ninth grade education can figure it out, so can you.
Yeah.
That's because they got the King's English right here.
Yeah.
Tonight I'm talking about a king inside of you.
Amen.
Hey, you got a king in you. Right here. Look at it. Look at verse 8. And thou, O tower of the flock of the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, Unto thee shall it come, even to the first dominance, the kingdom that shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, look at there, the middle word, three-letter words in Jerusalem is USA. Right there. Amen. Verse 9, why dost thou cry out aloud, is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished? The pangs have taken thee as a woman in travail. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon, and there thou shalt be delivered. Whew. There the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for this power, for this old blessed book tonight. And Lord, I'm trying to convince some people tonight to give their all to Jesus Christ. And Lord, I don't care what background they come from. I don't care white, black, green, yellow, blue, Father. Thank God you made us all. And Father, but you redeemed us by the blood of Christ. And we're getting saved. And God, let us know that you didn't leave us. We have a king living inside of us tonight. And Father, where we walk and where we go. He does not leave us. He said, when we're up, he's there. When we're down, we're there. When we're hungry, he's there. When we're filled, he's there. The King is there. May I encourage your people tonight to listen more to the King and not themselves and not their stupid enemies. I pray, God, you'll bless them tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Many years ago, I was working for the Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago. I was trying to find the will of God for my life, so I stayed busy while I'm looking.
Yeah. Amen.
You hear what I'm saying? I stayed busy while I'm looking. God doesn't use lazy people.
Amen.
You go over there and get in, he's over there thrashing wheat. God got a hold of him. God talked a lot of those kings over there that were busy doing something. Woman at the well, she was busy doing something. God doesn't speak to you're lazy and you don't want to work. God got something else for somebody else. But anyways, we're looking for a job, and I got a job at the Pacific Garden Mission. I got to work for Harry Solonier, who was converted to Christ through Billy Sunday. And he was about 82 years old when I met him. He worked 12 hours a day with plastic knee caps and plastic elbow caps, 12 hours a day. And he come in there and he started saying something like this to me. He said, well, hey, Jack, are you from that? Him and Brother Howells had a riff. I said, look, Brother Harry, you and Howells got a riff. That's between y'all. I said, I'm me, okay? You deal with him. And he liked John R. Rice and liked some other guys that come through there. And but I told him I was a King James man. He said, well, Billy Sunday had that issue too back in the day and so forth. I said, Brother Solonier, what do you want me to do for you? He said, I want you to win souls to Christ. I want the men looking like men. That's what he told me. He said, all right, we'll get them looking like men. And I took over that mission, Brother Ryman. They had over 27 men. This is 1982. I was 32. And it had a barred list on the wall. 27 people barred from a rescue mission. Now, when you get barred from a rescue mission, your cheese fell out of your sandwich.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? I mean, the rescue mission, how low can you go? You're my man Chubby. And you're way down. I ain't talking about you. And my goal was to get all those guys off that list. I got 26 men off that barred list. And one guy named Don, they murdered him in the park. And had his funeral and so forth. And what I didn't know, Brother Ryman, I was becoming the street people's pastor. I was counseling them and calling them and burying them and marrying them and so forth. I was there a little under a year, and I was going to come back. I thought that was the will of God for my life. And then I wanted to go back down to corporate to Brother Olof, and he gets killed in a plane crash. And so I'm looking for the will of God for my life. But before Brother Olof got killed in the plane crash, I came in one day, and there's this guy sitting on the sidewalk. His name is Claude Govia. He was a five-star chef from one of the leading motels in New York City. I said, Claude, why are you on the ground? He said, well, Brother Jack, and they're kicking me out because I'm a drunk. He's from Sicily. I picked him up, took him to office. I called Brother Olof. I said, Brother Olof, he said, this is Brother Jack. He said, yeah, Jack, when you coming home, son? Need you on the front line. I'm coming. And I said, he said, what can I do for you? He said, I got a guy here, and if you had a profession, he hired you at the top of the, I said, Bruce, send him. And he never said goodbye. He said, I want that guy down to corporate. He hung up the phone. He never said goodbye. Never bought me a plane ticket either. And so I called him. They want you to pay for it all. Amen. And so my name is Jimmy. Take all you give me. And I called him. I said, I got a chef here. He said, you get that dude on the plane now. Here, beat it. Duck, click. I got to go. And so I sent him down there. He was a five-star chef, a drunk at 70 years old from Sicily. I flew him down to corporate with some friends of mine. They flew him down there. And Brother Olof called me up a couple months later and said, hey, where's that chef at? I said, preacher, I sent him down there 2 months ago. What do you mean you sent him down here? He's on that property somewhere. You got 600 acres. I said, check out there in the boys and the men's dorm in the back. He can make pies and bread real good. He called me back. I found that dude. I said, what you doing? He said, I'm going to have him cook for the governor of Texas next week. He had him over to cook his quail, and Claude Govia got over there, got sobered up, got in that Bible, stayed under Lester Olof 4 or 5 years, got his life all straightened out. You know what Claude Govia found out? He had a king living inside of him.
Amen.
Hey, I'm talking to some of you here tonight. You don't think you can live for Christ. You messed up your life. You fell down. If I fall down, I'm going to get right up because I didn't start out to play. It's a battlefield, brother, not a... Hey, I have to constantly and constantly remind people, it ain't you that does it. It ain't your hairstyle. It ain't your clothes. It ain't your preaching voice. It's Christ. It's Christ. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's where your power comes from. It ain't by might, not by might, not my power, but by my Spirit, saith God. Hey, it's that King living inside you. When's the last time you talked to him? When's the last time you loved on him? When's the last time you did something for him? When's the last time you forgave for him? Like he forgave you. He forgave you and never brought it up. And never brought it up. Why, you quit talking about a sore you had 20 years ago. You keep picking and you keep picking and you keep picking and you get, hey, there's a King living inside you. So you've been divorced. Get over it. I said, get over it. Get on with your life. There's a King living in there. There's a King living inside you. Why don't you get back travailing? Suffer for him. Put up for him. Go without for him. Instead of whining all the time, well, they don't like me. Go suck a duck egg. Tell them that in Jesus' name. They don't like me, that's your loss. Hello? Amen. There's a King living inside you. I don't know what happened to Clyde Govey, but one day he realized there's a King living in him. And that, see, that King will teach you how to dress. That King will teach you how to talk. I used to have a filthy mouth. I got one now, still for liberals, but no, it's kidding. I want to say a lot of stuff, but there's a King living in there. There's a King living in there. Amen, amen. Hey, there's a King living inside me. One day I walked into First Baptist Church of Hammond, and I saw this lady on the platform. She was a prostitute two blocks away from First Baptist Church. One of the ladies in the foster club led her to Christ. Her name is Sandy Taylor. I said, well, this ought to be interesting. I said, and of course, I felt right at home. I grew up with that stuff. I still see it on the streets. Those sissy preachers, Brother Jack, do you go on the streets of Detroit? I said, all the time. Aren't you afraid? Afraid of what? You think I'm afraid to go to heaven if they kill me? Amen. Bing! Like, how'd you get out? Some sickin' druggie shot me, man. I'm up in glory. You bring out them cheeseburgers, and I'll get on the Wendy's to get me those 99-cent chilies, about 100 of them. Some double cheeseburgers, them people will kill for you. Yeah. Amen. Don't mess with my preacher, man. He feeds me, man. Amen. Hey, he cool, man. He got the good, baby. Leave him alone. Amen. Hey, come on now. Hello. Amen. I grew up in them brothers in the hood. Amen. God bless you. I remember the first time I saw gang signs in Chicago, I thought the guy was epileptic. That's funny, man. It's a joke. God bless you. So you shouldn't make fun of people. You make fun of me, I make fun of you. Amen. One guy asked me one time, he said, hey, how's the weather up there? Watch out, it's fixing to rain. You know. Hey, there's a King living inside you. There's a King living inside you. I got to convince him. There's a King living inside you. Amen. Oh, my mom, or my father and my mother forsake me. Then the Lord will take me up. Hey, there's a King living inside you. What do you walk around depressed for? What do you walk around everybody owes you something? Hey, come on. What do you walk around trying to dress like the world? All tattooed up. Yeah. You want to wear a tattoo? I don't give a flip, man. But you know what that says? I'm on your side. Yeah. I'm on your side. Yeah. Hello? Yeah. Little girls want to tighten the clothes up and everything else. I told my wife, tell the girl, if a button pop up your blouse, it kills somebody. Yeah. 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 Come on now. Yeah. Hey, I think when you get right with God on the inside, outside is going to clean itself up. Yeah. Amen. 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 Amen, Brother Jack. Good preaching. Yeah. Well, what's kept you going? Hey, I've been down a lot of time, but when I'm down, he's up. Yeah. When I won't, he will. Yeah. There's a King living inside me. Yeah. He walked with me, and he talked with me, and he tells me I'm his own. Yeah. I got to go to court sometime, and I couldn't be there the other day, so I sent a lawyer who donates her time. She looks just like Janis Joplin, Brother Ryman's hero, you know. And excuse me, Mrs. Ryman's hero. I said, Janice, she said, will you quit calling me Janis Joplin? You got wire-rimmed glasses, you got long, stringy hair, you look like Janis Joplin. I said, would you go in the courtroom and represent that boy? Look just like your son. And he goes in there, 6'5", little black boy, big black boy. And he said, man, they're going to put me in prison. I said, I got a lawyer coming for you. She's going to plea bargain your case. He said, but you ain't going to be here. Yeah, but I got somebody there in there waiting, working for me. The king was in there.
Yeah.
He said, I ain't got no money. I said, most druggies never do.
Yeah.
Well, what do I owe you? I said, live for God.
Yeah.
Just live for God.
Amen.
You know, some of you converts just got right with God. Let me just give you some ideas what to do. Go home and tell your mom and dad you're sorry.
Yeah.
For being an idiot.
Amen.
Sorry for you cussing them out, for stealing money, for stealing their car.
Amen. Yeah.
Say you're sorry.
Amen.
And mean it.
Yeah.
There's a king living in you.
Yeah.
See, now the king, the Bible said, Isaiah said, he shall see his soul. He travailed and was satisfied. Isn't that funny? Now God wants you to travail.
Yeah.
He wants you to go through some pain to quit crying about it.
Yeah.
I can't stand a preacher wang wang. I can understand. I cannot stand a sissy guy. Wah, wah. But I'm going to get me a pacifier and stick it in your mouth. You think I like walk around here, my legs are hurting bad? When I walk, it feels like it's putting needles in my muscles. They hurt. But I also got a king living in me.
Yeah.
That boy went to the courtroom. My lawyer walked up. I was praying for her. She called me back. I said, well, I said, you must be praying. I said, talk to me, talk to me. She said, I got both charges dropped. Yeah. Now, see, I don't want them off. No, I don't want you off. I want to use those charges to put you somewhere else.
Yeah.
In another men's home.
Yeah.
And so I got to work all that out next week. I got another call. Mother called me today. I was doing this while he was napping in the Holy Ghost in the recliner. I was praying. I think he was listening to me. One eye open, one eye shut. I was talking to him. Mother, is my son ready to come home? If not, I'll keep him 3 more months. You know what the boy told my mom? His mother, he said, Mom, what I've learned about Brother Patterson, be respectful to my parents. I've hurt my mother so many times. I called her up one night, Brother Ryman. I said, Ma, I'll never break your heart again. I'll never break your heart again. Now, I'm going to make about 30% of you mad at me right now. I don't give a flip. I walk out the door. I know I've done the best I could for you. But when you get saved and little girls, your bodies will start to grow. And you little girls, you're not little girls no more.
Right.
You got to start wearing ladies' clothes.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
Don't look at me like a calf looking on Newgate. Ah, you got a kid. Hey, boys. Hey, fellas. You got a king living inside you.
Yeah.
Once you learn to respect authority.
Yeah.
I never have called Dr. Ruckman the old man.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
That's brother. We called him Brother Pete back in the day. We're Dr. Ruckman.
Yeah.
The old man. No, respect. I got respect for him. I respect him. There's a king living in you. I kept coming back to Hammond. I saw this girl that was saved with a prostitute. She started growing. I saw her a year later, and she's growing now, going to Sunday school class, new beginners class. And one day at pastor school, they had her up there talking, which how she all got started and so forth. Then one day, I come in, and Brother Howes gave her a pew. Church seat. Don't get your hopes up. I'm just closing my Bible. I don't mean I'm done. I go open it back up. I came in there, and one day I saw 2 pews filled with people. She had no workers. Then one day I saw 3 pews filled with people from her lifestyle. Coming down the altar like trout line fishing, getting saved. Nobody taught her nothing. There was a king talking on the inside.
Yeah. Amen.
There's some of you folks right now, you live in your own Christian life, you're as miserable as the pits of hell. You got the short tapered haircut, you got the tie on, you got all the lingo and shout, but you hadn't talked to the king in 3 months. But he talks to you every day. When are you going to yield to me? Some of you wives, hey wives, when you got married, hey, mom and daddy, goodbye.
Yeah.
It's your husband now.
Amen.
Hey, husband, when you got married, no, it ain't your mom and daddy, it's your wife.
Yeah.
Hey, I love Reclamation Ranch, but my greatest importance is Karen Patterson sitting back there. Now, she's been with me through thick and thin, seeing the raids, seeing the dorms burned down. See, I mean, she's seen it all. Amen. Here we are 17 years later, still at it again, cranking it back. I just took in five guys yesterday from all walks of life. I got women on the street. When are you going to open up a women's home? I said, won't you open up one? I told one, she smarted back. I just think I will. She's a druggy heroin addict. Hey, man, you want to come to my home? You know what she meant? She meant what she said. I said, can I help you? And I tell them why I'm out there. I said, I want to help you grow in grace. Growing in grace. Growing in grace. Growing in grace. I got a guy in one day, and I'm done, Pastor Ryman. Wheels are down. I'm circling the field. He came into Lighthouse one night, and he was a biker out of Hammond, Indiana. And he started cussing, so he just went. He felt like Batman flying right through the window. And I said, he come to me one day. He said, Preacher, I was only 23 years old myself, just finished Bible school and kind of grown in grace myself. You see, it isn't your face or your place or your lace or your race that's going to take you places. It's the grace of God.
Amen.
I look at this young man. He looked at me. He said, Preacher, what can I do? I said, well, what can you do? He said, I'm a maintenance man. I said, all right, go ahead and change oil on these 371, 471 Detroit diesels. You be my maintenance man. He said, I want to do more than that. I said, all right, go ahead and take the boat out and take somebody with us. He don't take off my boat. They've stole my boats many a time, run 50 miles an hour, get away from there. And he unplugged it, washed it, unplugged the water, and got the water all rinsed out. I said, hey, I'll make you a boat runner. Here come another couple of months, the same old guy with a heroin addict out of Hammond, Indiana, and two blocks from Jack Hiles, lost to the goose. He got saved at the Lighthouse. And on 50 miles on the Intercoastal Canal. And about this time, he started reading his Bible every day. He was reading 20 and 30 pages a day, just reading and reading and reading and reading. Then he started asking me Bible questions. I'd give him some of Dr. Ruckman's books and so forth. I said, read this, or read Larkin, or read Locklear, and some other books, you know. And he got going there. He said, how do you know when you think you're called to preach? I said, you'll know, just like you were born, you'll know. He said, I think I'm called to, can I preach in chapel? I said, yeah, come on. You ain't no heretic, are you? I don't know what I believe, but I'll just say something. He got up and just talked about the day God saved him. God redeemed him. And it went on and went on, and he started to grow, and he started to grow, and he started to grow. I said, hey, I need to make you a captain. You go in town and go in town, and when you go, bring me some peanut butter. When I worked for Lester Roloff, you had to sign a contract. You couldn't eat chocolate, you couldn't eat flour, you couldn't drink coffee. Oh, man, you're in the second half of the trib. No, I don't believe that. I'm not going to no trib, okay? I'm out of here. You can stay here as long as you want to. I'm out of here. And we couldn't eat shrimp. I mean, we used to catch shrimp. I used to sell it down there and make money. He used to call me Detroit Jack. But anyway, long story short, this guy got in there and he got right with God. When I left the program to move on to another ministry, that young man who was a heroin addict took my place. I gave it to him. And it wasn't because he could preach good. Anybody can preach. He was loyal. He knew how to obey orders. Do you know how to obey orders when your preacher gives you an order? I gave a guy an order one day. I said, I don't want nobody swimming while I'm gone. He didn't listen. I knew the water. I knew the current. These boys had life preservers on. Five went out, four came back. I think about that every day of my life. You need to learn to obey, because he knows more than what you think you do.
Sure.
You're going to start a ministry? Talk to him about it. Amen. Preacher, what about this? What about this? Listen to him. Well, Brother Ryman's not here, fool. Fool, call him on the phone. That young man took my place. He called me up about 4 months later. I'm talking about a king living inside you. He came to Howard Anderson College, graduated, went out to Oregon to get a church. He said, Brother Jack, I got an opening up in Alaska. I said, Alaska? He went up there for about 4 years, got a church started. Been there now 30 years. had four kids. All three boys, one boy's a pastor, two boys were missionaries, Malawi. David Robinson, that's his father I'm talking about. The sister married another builder. They helped missionaries build houses all over the world. I come in Pensacola one day, and I forget his name, but he said, hey, Brother Patterson, somebody bought me an RV. I said, really? I said, who? They told me. I said, yeah, I know him. That's what he does. Those missionaries up in Alaska helped out other missionaries. Amen. Oh, man, I'm going to give him a call. No, we don't believe in welfare Baptists.
Amen. Yeah.
And that's, if you thought you're going to get one free, then you're wrong. I give stuff all the way, but I can't pay my bills next week.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Here's what the average Baptist is doing. And your kids are going to pay the price. Because you stop giving. I ain't talking about just money. I'm talking about life. I'm talking about things. I'm talking fulfilling opportunities as they pass by you. You can bake bread, but you never bake for nobody. You can cook pies, but you never cook pies for nobody. Well, who's going to get me glory? We ain't home yet. Where do we get home? Whew. And the books were open. That verse don't bother me. I'm in there. I'm in that book. I know I'm in that book.
Amen.
But what bothers me is that I listen to the king every time he asked me to do something.
Amen.
Every time he wanted me to forgive somebody who acts stupid. You know what he said to me? I forgive you.
Yeah.
Wasn't you stupid? Yeah.
Amen.
Somebody done something to you and you won't forget about it? You know that Bible says about you running your mouth. I listen to so many people, I don't say nothing to them. I hear Jack Patterson. He that answereth the matter before he heareth it is a folly and a shame unto him. Proverbs 18:13. I hear stuff all the time. I say, yeah, that guy's an idiot. When you can't control people, you know something on them, they'll want to sling some mud back on you. That's what a buzzard does. A buzzard would eat with you, buzzard, and I call them buzzard Baptists. And that buzzard would get up and take off, and then he'll vomit over the other buzzard he was just eating with. Amen. I don't hang around that crowd. I know what Tom Williams said. I'm on my fifth set of friends. I like to keep my old friends. I can be a blessing to them. If I can't help you, I'm not going to hurt you. I'm done preaching. Some of you teenagers need to talk to that king inside you. Don't go out there and get them goofy tats on. Get the new style clothes to be cool. No, you're cool in Christ.
Amen.
You've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Don't let the world put their stamp on you.
Amen.
Hey, I got a stupid tattoo. I was on so much dope one night, I put my own name on my arm. Duh. I was going to put my girlfriend on them, but she dumped me the next day, Beatrice, so I got rid of her. Amen. But I was lost, didn't know anything. But I see people. I never talk about people's tattoos. But you know what they are? They're remembered from the world. We ain't there no more.
Right.
We're not there no more. I travel every day as a journey through this land. I've been mighty blessed of God. I'm holding to his hand. But the journey's almost over and the battle's nearly won. And to have a feeling in my heart, the best is yet to come. Oh, the best is yet to come when I walk through heaven's gate. For the first time I'll see Jesus, I can hardly wait. He'll show me through that mansion, saying this is your home. I have a feeling in my heart, the best is yet to come. Oh, the best is yet to come when I'll walk through heaven's gate. For the first time I'll see Jesus, I can hardly wait. He'll show me through my mansion and say, hey, this is your home. I have a feeling in my heart, the best is yet to come. Let's bow our heads. Brother Ryman.